Welcome back, everybody. This is the Great Shalom Broadcast, Overcoming Learning Problems. And today we're going to talk about get your children safe. I'm going to talk about the problems and then the how to solve that problem. And today we're going to talk about get your children safe. I'm going to talk about the problems and then the how to solve that problem. There was a famous, I don't know what he was, pundit, comedian, commentator, and he often talked about the problems of society, and he said, "I'll let you know when to worry." I'm letting you know when to worry. I'm going to talk in a normal tone of voice, but I think it's time to worry. And if I convey to you proper emotion, then most of you wouldn't hear me because it would sound crazy because you don't understand the situation. So we just ran Danny Johnson, a rerun from 2009. And Danny Johnson was then on a campaign against porn. As an expert marketer, she knew what was going on in the boardrooms of marketing. And in that episode, as I heard it again, I heard the word war, a strategic war on our children. And that was 2009. This is 2023. And I think we know a lot more. We have seen a lot more. So we want to talk about get our children safe. I saw a post on social media yesterday. It said, what do you think the greatest safety challenge to our children is? And I, because of the context, I wrote back, said, why are you even asking that question? Why would you pose one safety threat against another? The answers that you're going to get on social media is going to be simply the top of the mind, because of whatever political party or cadre that person hears from. But it is irresponsible to counterpose one problem to the other. The responsible thing to do is to try to get the children safe. So I don't care so much if you rank porn the number one issue in your child's school, or if it's gun safety, or if it's what you don't see, which I think may be the even greater than the other two, but how can you rank these, is the weaponization of the very language to make the cognitive frame such that children cannot think for themselves, cannot ever be adults, and will only be pawns to tyranny. So I could spend episodes plural on that one point. But we know that we have a porn problem in many of our schools. We have Drag Queen Story Hour, and now that I've looked into it, I see that it is intended to be an initiation into what we could only call a pagan worship and a pagan life way, because you cannot unsee things. So it is an initiation, and that's why it's so important to the people who are pushing it. But we do have what would otherwise be legally defined as porn in curriculum and in schools, in school libraries, even in elementary school. And this is being done covertly and with a push of authority that in itself is alarming. It is depredation upon children. It is grooming. It is grooming in a sexualized sense, grooming for sexual depredation. And then, of course, recently we had in the news a situation where a six-year-old had hold of a gun, was shooting. I don't even know how that's possible. My daughter, back in the 90s, said, "Mother, what we need to do first is put metal detectors at every door of every school." That seems so obvious, and the fact that it hasn't been done has to be marked down as intentional at this point. Cannot be marked down as laziness or irresponsibility at this point. And so it is not a matter of let's ban guns, because obviously that's wrong-headed. Just takes a little evidence. You want science-based? Let's do a little evidence. And the jurisdiction where there is the strongest anti-gun laws, there is the most gun violence. So it's nonsense. But we do have to do something. And when we allow our children to be depredated upon to make some kind of political point, or worse, to further tyranny, this is beyond inexcusable. And then, of course, we have what is maybe the worst problem, but the obviously the least seen, and that's the weaponization of the very language that we use. And I have been doing some study, and now I know that this is well documented and a long-term plan. There's so much material there that I can't even begin to go into it, but one resource that is now widely available is James Lindsay's The Marxification of Schools. I think that's the name of his book, but he's on YouTube, he's got podcasts, and there are many other people working to bring to us this documentation that there has been a strategic Sovietization and Maoization brought into our government schools. And I am going to change the language. I've always said public schools. That's usually how we talk about the schools that are run by our government in the United States. But because the language is switched in England, and I don't know what it is like in New Zealand and other English-speaking places, I think we need to be clear. And we're talking about government-run schools. Even the first public schools in this, what is now this nation, a colony of Massachusetts, was not government-run. They were public, but not government-run, because the law provided that every township have parents that got together and hired a teacher. So that's really different than what we have today. And by the way, that was called the Satan, the Old Eluder Act in 1600s. And I wish that we could go back there, but we have serious problems right here in River City. And while these are obviously true and pervasive in our government-run schools, and even in what were heretofore conservative jurisdictions, but I'm told not in all, some of the rural places have escaped it because there is greater visibility between administration and parents and so forth, and more traditional values, perhaps. Anyway, I nevertheless am seeing the same problems in very small denominational colleges. And I'm told that this is true in Christian schools. And we could go into that more, but I am appalled the extent to which that I'm seeing that this is true. And I knew for a long time that the more elite Christian schools had similar societal problems because of the money. The students were just able to get into more problems. But I'm talking about the Marxification of the curriculum and the extent to which the faculty is not on the same doctrinal page as the people who started the schools. And as long as you have certified teachers, as long as you hired faculties from secular colleges, you're going to have this. And further, I have to question what's going on with the leadership. The leadership is either asleep or bought off. And given what I saw during the COVID shutdown time period in small, very conservative denominations, university, given what I saw, I am concluding that there is some corruption, some buying off. So be that as it may, we've got problems, and they're pervasive problems. How are you going to keep your children safe? And this is what I'm talking about. Safe from grooming, to be sexually depredated upon, safe from being shot, safe from being taught, rather than reading, writing, arithmetic, an activism mindset that does not permit them to use what we normally would have called critical thinking in the past, but critical thinking means something entirely different based on critical theory, based on Marx. Okay, how are you going to keep your kids safe so that they are actually learned and functional and successful as adults? Well, we're going to have to go back to God's answer. And there is a clear answer. And while this broadcast was originally aimed at parents whose children had quote-unquote learning disabilities, nevertheless, I took an episode at the beginning back in 2008 and read you this passage. Let me read it to you again. Perhaps I should have left the recording going so you could hear me finding the passage. I think this is highly important. We're getting away from that today. Everybody finding their passage in the Bible in hard copy. I'm reading to you Deuteronomy 6, and let's start with verse 4 because it's such an important verse, but we're going to go through 7. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Verse 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Well, let's do 8 and 9. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And then there are blessings. Oh, when you come into the land, the Lord will bless you. If you know much about the Bible at all, you know that Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one, is the verse by which Jews are identified as monotheists. This is important. This is the verse that they put on a small piece of paper and put in their mezuzah on the doorpost of their house. This is a very important point. And Jesus pointed to verse 6, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, might, as the quintessential summary of the law, of all the duty of the believer to God. This is what Jesus said was the point. And the very next verse is a commandment. Notice the verb tense, thou shalt. You can't get a stronger imperative. It's not, we suggest, it's not, this is what we do. It's God saying, thou shalt teach your children diligently when you're in your house and when you're walking in the street, when you're lying down and when you're getting up, which I would interpret to mean all the time, but you personally, in your personal lives. And yes, rooted in teaching them about God. Just finished a book by Kevin Kukagee, a very small book, and you can get it, Cookajee is, along with Gary Humble, part of Tennessee Stands, and his little book is an apology for liberty. And he argues in that book that liberty is and can only be rooted in the Judeo-Christian Bible, that particular understanding, because without a strong foundation of liberty, it can be transmuted into tyranny. And that's beyond the scope of what I'm talking about today. But lest you say, oh, this is only about religion. Okay, really? How much are you doing that? Or are you assuming that the church is going to take care of religious education in Sunday school, and then you're going to send your kids off to Marxist groomers all day long, and then be on social media where you know that there are plants of the evil one, and then let them also be with their peers? How much are you teaching your children? This is God's plan. And while heretofore I have said, as long as the parents take the leading administrative authority, if they want to hire other people, fine. Okay, right, not every parent knows calculus, but given what we're seeing, I think we need to step it up with the responsibility. If you're sending your child to a school where they're going to be sexually depredated upon, or they're going to be shot, or they're going to, rather than be actually taught, they're going to be weaponized as activist pawns and have their cognitive structure manipulated in such a way as they will never be able to think for themselves. Doesn't matter how many smiley faces you send in their lunchbox. Doesn't matter how many texts you say, I love you. If you do this to your children, they will figure out that you cared more about convenience or something else than you did about them. I know it's not easy. I was a single mom and felt I couldn't. And even when I was married to someone who made very little, and we didn't feel we could afford Christian school. But I don't think that can stand in the way any longer. There are scholarships and there are ways. And if you get in with a group, sometimes the group can help. So for instance, if it's a parent co-op, the parents can all agree, if you got 10 parents, to chip in 10% more so that the single mom can continue to full-time work and not do her. You know, if there is a will, there is a way, and there must be a way at this point. You don't have the option to send your child to government school any longer and hope that they're going to be safe, because they're not. Okay, so I could spend episode upon episode talking about the troubles and the problems, but I think that's well established. What I need to tell you is what to do. Okay. We have run episodes on homeschooling, and we will run them again. I have run episodes on how to teach reading and math. I think that's so important. And even for me, when I was when I was doing homeschooling as a parent, I was a little concerned if I could get my children over that hump easily enough. And yet I had a Montessori diploma, and I had done a lot of tutoring. I have done a lot of teaching. And so, yes, so I have distilled what I know, and I've put that in a few episodes, and you can get them and you can own them and go to the website at greatshalom.org or overcominglearningproblems.org, same site. Go there, go to the shop, And we're working on the mechanics of that, but it will be up soon. So if you can't find an old episode, you can buy it. And I will talk more about the upper level history. That's so important, and how things are getting Marxified. I will do that. But today I'm going to give you some very basic stuff. First off, this is how to start homeschooling. First, let me tell you that I think you're going to be very tempted to do things in the wrong order and to get into trouble. I live in Texas, where to privately educate your child has always been a right ensconced in the Texas Constitution. And when that became a question, whether that included homeschooling or not, there was a case back in the 80s called the Leeper case, and it has clearly been ensconced in writing. And boy, that's a whole nother story. Some people came in and were moles, but it got sorted out for the benefit of Texans. But not every jurisdiction has nearly as much freedom. And so you have sticky wickets of government overreach in some states. And in some countries like Germany, you have no rights at all to publicly educate your child. We just read from the Bible that you have a duty to be in charge of the education of your child. And yet the national law prevents that. And I would say to resolve that, because if you homeschool your child, you will be in prison and you will have them taken away from you. I know people that this has happened to, people who are soft-spoken and reasonable and educated. So I would suggest you solve that problem by moving to a jurisdiction where you have liberty. If you do not have the liberty to do what it is your duty to do, then you're living under tyranny. And Martin Luther said, "Here I stand, I can do no other." The right to conscience, the right to do right, is central to European civilization. That is what has been good about European civilization, and that is what has made us strong. As we have not, I'm not saying all of Western civilization was good, but what was good is that we centered on this, the right of private conscience, meaning the right to do right. If you have a duty to your children to take care of them, and if the government prevents you, then it's a tyrannous government, and if you have the option to leave, you should. So what I'm going to suggest, so normally what people will do is talk about it with their friends, take their kid out of school and get some curriculum that their friend has suggested. I think that's the wrong way to go about it, and you might get into trouble. Okay, so I suggest instead you keep your mouth shut and you get some legal help. If you're in Texas, join Texas Homeschool Coalition. If you're in the United States, not in Texas, join the HSLDA, Homeschool Legal Defense Association. The Homeschool Legal Defense Association. They have a website. We'll run our interview that we did. Incidentally, that association was started by lawyers who had children who had quote unquote learning disabilities, and they got fed up with struggling with the government schools trying to get the programs and help that the law provided that the schools give them, but even the lawyers were not able to get that in a timely and efficient, effective manner, and so they wanted to homeschool their children, and so they saw the difficulty of this, and that's why they made Homeschool Legal Defense Association, because the lawyers themselves were parents who were facing this same problem. And incidentally, I will tell you, getting your child remediated is going to be a whole lot easier and a whole lot more effective if you're doing it yourself and hiring any help you need than trying to struggle and convince a public school system who has a very different agenda they have an agenda to not serve you with your special ed requirements because it costs them money. And they have an agenda. Now we know. We know to not educate, not to teach your children, but rather to activate them into activists and to depredate upon them and to use them as pawns toward gun control. So you really have no choice. Okay, so first, get legal help. Second, scout out the land. And these associations can help you a lot. You will find a regional convention so you can scout out curriculum and so forth. Today, there are a lot of choices. I would suggest before you get overwhelmed with all the choices, get my book, Great Shalom. Learn at Home for Great Shalom. Learn at Home for Great Shalom. You can go to my website, greatshalom.org or overcominglearningproblems.org, and click through, and somebody will print it for you and send it to you. And it's really a methodology book. People don't understand what that means. Okay, so it's going to help you think about everything you need to teach your child and in what method you need to teach your child. And once you've sorted that out, you can go and buy curriculum with some assurance that you're doing it right, because you do not need to simply replicate the public school system that you remember from your childhood, because this whole plan of corrupting it started in the early 1900s, if not before, to tear it away from morals, tear it away from classical education that created character for good leadership, tear it away from basic facts, tear it away from skills. And that happened even when I was in school. I remember when I was in the 6th, 7th, 8th grade, they put away all the grammar books, so we weren't going to do diagramming sentences anymore. And so after that, people just didn't understand grammar, couldn't write. And I remember the sea change in that and what the teachers were saying. And I'm going to tell you what, when I got to graduate school and was studying Greek, I could diagram those sentences, and it really helped me a lot. And I remember being a senior in high school and where my peers were just lost and couldn't write their papers because they didn't know how to use English properly. Yet I was so far ahead because in the 8th grade, my teacher said, "These books are supposed to be locked away in the cabinet, but I'm getting them out because I know this is how to teach you grammar." Okay. So, and I'm 66. So don't try to replicate. I knew somebody a few years ago, I guess 10 years ago, he was 80. He said, "Oh, students in high school have no idea what they don't even know what I knew in the 4th grade." And actually, he is correct about that. Now, they may know something else about biology, but no, they don't know the history and the literature that he knew in the 4th grade. I actually know that's true. Okay, so don't replicate. Have a good look, a 360-degree look at what your child needs to learn. And yes, it's going to be reading and writing arithmetic at the center, but there's maybe a whole lot more. And today, we don't need to have children formed so much for a workplace of factories or even a workplace of a statist and static information technology, but we need one of innovation and initiative, because a lot of jobs are going to be replaced by AI in just a few years. In fact, the best IT security man, who is a well-thought-of project manager, he is scared AI is going to take his job. And so he knows what he's talking about, folks. So your child needs to know about entrepreneurship. Your child needs to know about how to be a good parent. Your child needs to have a character for leadership. And none of that is taught in public school. And now I know by design. And none of that is, very little of that is taught in any Christian school either. You're going to be hard put to find a Christian school with a biblical worldview. And even if that is the marketing material, ask them if they have certified teachers. Ask them where their teachers were trained. And if they're state certified teachers, they're Marxists. I'm sorry to be so bald about it. But they have been trained in a methodology to discount any curriculum that might come around being Christian. And a lot of curriculum, even sold to homeschoolers in homeschool conventions, are not Christian at all. Ask them. When you stand at that table and you're looking at the curriculum, you ask them, what makes this biblical worldview? And you'll find that many of them can't answer that question. They have just taken secular curriculum and slapped a few Bible verses and a few pictures on. And that doesn't make it Christian biblical worldview. Okay. So first off, you're getting legal help. Then you're going to scout the land. So get my book, Learning Home for Great Shalom. Go to some homeschool conventions and find some groups. Find some groups. Don't take what a peer says as gospel, but it's great to have some peers, some social support. And then plan how you're going to take your child out of school. Do not just stop sending them to school, because then you violated truancy laws and they're going to come after you. So even in Texas, you need to withdraw officially and tell them that you are switching to private education. I would recommend you doing this with legal help. Now, some people have managed to do this with a letter drafted by an attorney, and that's a fine way. That way you are not having to face the dragon yourself, and certainly not your child. Back in the 80s, when people didn't act as wild as they're acting today, still, I faced bizarre behavior. Back then, and still today, school officials try to intimidate parents, tell them things that are untrue, and threaten them. Since I knew that that was the modus operandi, and it was a fairly small school system in an extraordinarily conservative town, and yet that was the modus operandi. And even though they knew I had a college education and I knew the law, they tried this on me. And I had already for years and years known that if I asked for something, if I asked for the law to be followed, then my daughter would later get it. You know, they would take it out on her when I wasn't there. So it's important that you not permit that to happen. So when you know that you have everything in order, you have your legal, you know what your curriculum is going to be, you know that you're going to comply with whatever rules that you do have, then take your child out of school. If you can simply, at the beginning of a semester or something, have a legal letter written, that's good. And that means that you are more protected from any interactions. However, you may not be able to do that. You may have to present yourself. So what I did back in the 90s is I would never go up to school after I saw how they were behaving. I either went up with my husband, and they tried that even with my husband. They threatened a lawsuit. When I asked for my child to be tested, you know, I would sit in the ARD meeting with the statutes in a binder open before me and my Phi Beta Kappa key on, and they would tell me things that were completely illegal for them to say. because they were trying to get out of following the law. Anyway, so when I withdrew my child from school, I brought a social worker with me who agreed. She knew what the score was. And so I said, hello, my name is such and such, and this is so and so, and her position is such and such, and we are here to sign the papers to withdraw my daughter from school because I am privately educating her. It's important to say privately educating, because your child needs to go down in the records as switching schools and not as dropping school. Now, often students are misclassified because they say, okay, I'm moving back to Mexico, or okay, I'm moving to, you know, Dallas or whatever, and when in fact they're dropping out. And so they're often misclassified. But in this case, the authorities may intentionally misclassify you in order that CPS come to your door. So don't let that happen. Be sure that you say, I am privately educating my child. And don't discuss it further, because it is not up to them if you are putting them in the most elite Episcopalian school, or if you're putting them in the biggest evangelical school, or if you're educating them at home. It is not up to them. They don't need to know. Legal advice, don't give people extra information that they can use to shoot at you with legally, you know. So, figuratively. So, just say, I am here to withdraw because I am transferring to another school. I am privately educating. And you will be set up as a private school according to whatever is the law in your jurisdiction. Okay. In Texas, the Leeper decision says that there must be a written educational plan, and that must include reading, writing, and civics. So most people interpret that as they have to have a printed curriculum, but actually what it means is you need to have it written down. So if you're using Unschooling or Charlotte Mason or whatever, as long as you write down your plans and you document what you did, so that you have a transcript at the end, you're good in Texas. In some other states, you have to buy an approved curriculum, which is scurrilous and questionable legally as far as I'm concerned, but don't take my word for it. Go with what your lawyer has to say about it, okay? Because you don't want CPS coming to your door. Okay, but when you have done this, as I said, if you ever have CPS coming to your door, then you don't have to worry. You won't. You crack your door, you say, hello, may I help you? And they say, hello, I'm from blah, 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 and I wish to speak to your children. And you will say, here is the name of my attorney, and then you shut the door and lock it. Do not let state officials privately interview your child. And they don't have a right to interview you either. Unless they come with a policeman's uniform, and then they have to read you your Miranda rights. And the Miranda rights say you don't have to say anything to them. You get to consult an attorney first. And boy howdy, you need to know what your rights are and enforce them. So, to recap, if CPS does come to your door, and, you know, they never came to my door, but I had the card of Texas Homeschool Coalition right there by the door. And if, you know, somebody had, and this can happen, and it can happen somewhat innocently, maybe. For instance, if somebody sees you with your child, maybe you have gone to a park to pick up leaves for a botany assignment, and they see a child, and it's school hours, and they call CPS. CPS is going to come and want to know. So it's possible that it could be innocent. It's possible, even here in Texas, that it's not innocent at all. There have been some CPS workers who have initiated cases And it has been later found out that they went beyond every bound of not only their job, but of the law. And that was sustained by a lower level judge who also either didn't know or didn't care about the law. And children have been removed for a short time. But and that was in Tarrant County, which is a conservative county overall, but of course on appeal. Everybody was reprimanded, but you don't want to have to go through all of that, okay? So that's why I say the first thing is to get a lawyer. And it's not terribly expensive. You just join one of these associations and you pay what is really minimal. If you break it down every month, you know, you're going to have a yearly dues to the association. But then you have a lawyer on your case when you need it, if you need it. And so if somebody were to come to your door, you say, here is my lawyer's number. And that's all you have to say. Close the door, lock it, end of story. And believe you me, these lawyers have had decades of experience with nonsense officials trying nonsense things, and the law is the law, and we're going to have to enforce it. That's where we are in the timeline. Okay, so I'm telling you, it's time to worry. Get your kids safe, and the surest method is homeschooling your children. This is my judgment. If you're listening to me, get a lawyer, give a 360 view, get a definite plan for curriculum, get in a group, and you can have so much fun in these groups. You know, there'll be play dates, and there'll be choir performances at Christmas, and field trips, and you'll have so much fun. I want to tell you to take action. I'm going to tell you to invest in this. A lot of women want to do this on the cheap. Just get some used curriculum and be done with it. You reap what you sow. Invest in this. Go to some conventions. Take the breakout sections. Learn yourself. You do not have to be a genius educator, but you're going to have a lot of fun with your kids, let me tell you. It's going to end up a lot of fun. It may seem scary for some at the beginning. I am going to recommend that you get some testing for your children so you know what grade level they are and what their skill is, because the government schools are not doing this as they should. So some curriculum gives free testing so you can find out the grade level of your child. But I'm going to recommend that you also might want to have some skill testing. So you know, I offer some of that. You can go to orgstrat.net, stands for Organizational Strategies, orgstrat.net. I'm going to recommend that you get some mentoring. I was listening to a podcast this morning with Robert Kiyosaki, who teaches real estate, and he was going on and on. Of course, he's a salesperson. He was saying, take action, get a mentor. If you want a mentor, then come to greatshalomacademy.com, greatshalomacademy.com, and I can mentor you. I can sell my time by the hour. If I have enough people, we can do a group online support session as often as you want, you know, like every month, every week, and then you could build a support group. Take action, get a mentor. Do not be swayed off this path. Do not be confused by deceptive language. Do not be confused by people offering you money. Do not take vouchers. Do not take early college start unless you have a mentor and a group. There is a famous Christian broadcaster who says, every time you make a decision based on money, you will find yourself in a compromised position. So what I understand this to mean is, if money is your deciding factor, you're going to be ensnared by the devil. Now, money might be on your list of criteria, but the number one thing cannot be money, because Satan will use money to get you off of the right path and you will find yourself ensnared. Don't be fooled by vouchers. Don't be fooled by school choice. And don't send your children to colleges where faculty who are Christian can no longer teach. If the college is so bad socially that Christian faculty member can no longer step on campus, you don't want to send your 15-year-old there. And many of these colleges, everyone that I know about that has early college start for free, are places where their original mandate was to help people who weren't successful in high school. So why would you send your student there? Well, there might be a reason. If you can get dual credit, okay. That, if you're actually getting dual credit, and that's another whole question there, but you don't want to send them onto campus socially, and you really wouldn't want to send them to face a Marxist professor online either. You need mentoring, at least. And it would be great if you had a group, and we're working on that. I'm working on that. GreatShalomAcademy.org for dual credit. Okay, and there are other people working on that. Look for Christian halls. You know, like universities, old universities had big buildings they called halls. Okay, so Christian halls beginning to sprout some of this. I'm telling you, take action now. Get your children safe.
Thank you for joining us for the Great Shalom broadcast with your host, Sharon Sarles. Sharon is an author, educator, minister, parent, and grandparent committed to sharing the understanding of God's love and desire that all children experience optimal well-being in this generation and the generations to come.
I want to get into your hands my book, Learn at Home for Great Shalom. Yes, it was written for homeschooling parents, but really it is written for all parents, because all parents are responsible for their children's education. And that doesn't mean just reading, writing, and arithmetic, but we are responsible for teaching our whole child. And this book will help you address all of the needs of your children. It will help you make decisions about special needs. It will help you make decisions about which curriculum. It's an overall soup to nuts book. Learn at Home for Great Shalom. Come to the website www.greatshalom.org. GreatShalom.org. Get this book. Take some action. Do it now. Get help. Get mentoring. Get resources. Take action. Take action. Do it now, now, now. Come to the website at greatshalom.org. Come to my new initiative, greatshalomacademy.com. You can get my books on either lulu.com, L-U-L-U.com, or amazon.com. Not the same books, you understand. It's time to take action. It's time to invest where somebody's going to help you instead of trick you, deceive you, take your legacy, and possibly more than that. We won't go into that at the moment. Okay, it's time to move, folks. Get your children safe.